Well, in June, as is typically the case of my life, the board of directors here allow me to go away into a mountain area and spend about 4 nights in prayer and just seeking God and asking God for vision. And a lot of those times when God sends me or I go into those places, I find that God works in my life even more so than sometimes he gives me direction, which can be scary coming out, but he really does do a work in my life. And this past June, God really was working in my life. And it was very personal, it was very pointed, and very clear what God was saying to me. And the one thing that came out of that time was a word from God for this church, for this season, and I'm going to preach that word in 8 weeks. So starting today, which I will introduce what God placed in my heart, and then I will, over the September and October Sundays, speak what I believe God gave me for this church. This particular year, I went to Jasper, which is, I think, one of the first few times I've gone there, and I went and stayed in this bed and breakfast thing that was self-contained so nobody could bug me. And so my habit is I get up every morning and I go somewhere, you know, I drive to a lake, to a mountain, to wherever I can be more alone, and I spend the day into the evening with just myself. And so in this particular time in Jasper, the Monday I drove there, I got into my place, and then I went north of Jasper to find an area just to hang out. And I found this lake, and I took out my lawn chair, and I went and sat by the lake, and in front of me, it was a blue, beautiful day. It was warm, it was nice, gorgeous mountains in front of me. And then off to the left, there were these snow-capped mountains off in the distance. I mean, it was spectacular. That was Monday. On Wednesday, for whatever reason, I felt compelled to go back there, and I went back there and got, you know, was going to get my lawn chair out, and I took a picture on Monday, but I also decided to take a picture Wednesday, and I took the before and after pictures of Monday and Wednesday and sent them to Noreen, and on Monday was that clear and beautiful, and on Wednesday, it was white with snow. It was kind of hilarious. So I didn't stay on my lawn chair very long because the temperature had dropped. But God, in working with me, I want to share some thoughts that God gave me. One is this, that we have an enemy in our lives. We have an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to do that to me. And God was showing me some areas where he was attacking, and even subtly where I wasn't even aware, and how God was trying to lay up a shield around me because of that, but make me very aware of what the enemy was doing. And you know, the enemy, God told me, was out to destroy not only me, but the unity of leadership in the church and unity in the church itself. And he wasn't doing it with just the average person in a sense, you know, but he was doing it through people that pray, through people who lead, through people that are invested in some way to bring a stability to all of us. And in John 15, God started to speak into my life the way to know the enemy's schemes and the way to set a standard against the enemy in my life was that I would abide in Jesus. You know, Jesus taught us in John 15 that we should abide with him and that we were a part of him and that without him we can do nothing. And we got to not just speak that or have that head knowledge of that. We've got to know that if we try to live our Christian faith and life without Jesus, it doesn't work. Because then our eyes turn off what authority and power and resource we have. And it turns on to what we can do or what we have or, in more particularly, what we don't have. So God called me again afresh and anew to recognize the enemy that works against me and also that I would, in a greater measure, abide with him because without him, I could not lead. You know, it's one thing for Pastor Rich to say that God is valued higher than anything. But his life will dictate and show and be the fruit of whether he really does believe that. And it's no different for any of us. If we value Jesus, then our life practically will be lived out and show that by faith. There was a moment of illumination that came to my life. I don't recommend that this happen to you all the time. And it was very unsettling in the moment that it happened. But in June, when I was in the middle of that week, I'd come back to the place. I had just sort of taken my notepad out just to write some notes of what had happened during the day, things that I might have forgotten, just some impressions and what I felt God wanted me to sort of make sure I didn't forget. And so I'm sitting there doing this, and at a moment, I just put my pen down, and I put my head, laid on the bed and put my head on the pillow, and I just began to be quiet before the Lord and just meditate. And folks, all of a sudden, I had a moment that was God moment. Like, you can't describe it anyway. It's nothing I could do in myself. I couldn't conjure it up. It doesn't happen flukily. It doesn't happen randomly. But you know how it says that God is all-knowing? That God sees everything. It doesn't matter which of our lives we live in our little world, but God lives in all of our world. You know, he sees, he knows. He's there present all the time, and his spirit is in our lives. I had a moment just like that in my life, when all of a sudden I saw everything in my life, past, present. I saw it all. And I saw it in particular, I saw the ministry side of my life, the internships, the pastoral ministries, all of it. In one instant, I could see and know it all. And folks, what I saw and what I experienced caused me to get terror in my spirit like I never felt terror before. I felt so hopeless and lost and apart from God. It was frightening. It was awful. And then in a moment, like a snap of a fingers, God's compassion and mercy and grace caught up with me. And I'm thankful that for 3 to 5 seconds, what I experienced was only 3 to 5 seconds. I can't explain it. I can't describe it. All I can tell you is I saw it all in one moment. I knew everything about my life. You know what God told me in that moment? You can't do anything, anything without me. Everything you try, everything you do, everything you do in your own strength, in your own wisdom and knowledge will all turn against you. It will not last. It won't help you. It won't do anything for your future. And it certainly won't do anything for the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't use what God's given us, our giftings and abilities. But if that's all we're relying on, it's not enough. We need Jesus. This pastor needs Jesus. I don't want to experience it. Well, let me just take that back for a moment. Guess what happened in August? I was on holidays. We were down in the coast for a bit at my sister's house and woke up early one morning, and Noreen and I were downstairs in the guest room, and I was awake and I went right into prayer. And then all of a sudden, it happened again. It was like God was giving me a reminder. And thank goodness it only lasted a few seconds again. But it was that moment that I realized I had to take it. And I couldn't throw it aside as something that I would forget or disregard. That this pastor needs Jesus. Do I want to see your lives flourish? Do I want to see my life flourish? Do I want to see this church so alive when we're together that we're bouncing off the walls? Not old Pentecostal, literally, because I don't want anybody to get head concussions. You know, there's a faith in us, and that faith should be alive. It should be joyful. It should be contagious. Because Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, lives in us. And sometimes we mope around in our faith and in our belief systems, and we're cranky. We need to get our eyes fixed on Jesus. We need to abide in Jesus, because if we're not abiding in Him and building a relationship with Him, we have nothing. God led me to Philippians 3. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid a hold of by Christ Jesus. You know, we can't let our guard down ever. We can't stop living our faith ever. We can't ever get our eyes off Jesus. We can't keep reaching for the kingdom of God and letting God use our lives. We can't stop. We've got to press on and continue to lay hold of that which is in God. And brethren, I don't regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And God's word to me was, I showed you what was behind you and how, you know, how without me it's nothing. He says, because I'm showing that, because I have a future for you. And it's a new day. It's not the old anymore. It's the new. And we need to press on. And then you don't have to live in the old anymore. You too can live in the new. It's a new season for your faith. It's a new day. Let's get out of the cobwebs. Get the dusters. Get the dust off our heads. It's a new day in Christ. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on because God matters the most. Heaven matters the most. I had another experience. I don't know what it is about this summer. You talk about shaking you from the core. I woke up in the middle of the night one day at our home. And in the middle of the night, like Noreen and I often do, and all of a sudden this terror gripped my heart again, and this thought grabbed me, am I going to hell? I was terrified, but I had no excuses to give God. I didn't go, well, God, I'm a pastor. I didn't go, God, well, I've been in faith for so many years. I was terrified. And in that moment, I realized the enemy was whispering in my ear. Because I have an enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy me. He's real. And in that moment, when I thought, I don't want to go to hell, I just felt the peace of the Holy Spirit said, you're not. What do you know? And I started to recite scripture and truths that I know and faith that I know, and the peace of God that passes all understanding came over me and guarded my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. I know where my prize is. And everything in our lives has to be led and just flavored with that thought, heaven is where I'm going. I want to see Jesus face to face, and I don't want to be in terror when I see Him. I want to fall at His feet and worship and love Him and know Him. And Paul finishes that passage where he says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. So one day I was in Jasper there. I came from a mountain. I went into the town, and I was just driving aimlessly for some reason. And I pulled up to the middle of Jasper. Some of you may have probably seen it there. There's a school, a government building, and a big field, park kind of thing. And I got out my lawn chair and my Coke, and I went out to the middle of this thing under the one tree that was offering some shade, set up my chair, you know, drank my Coke, sat before the Lord, and pulled out my notepad. And as soon as I pulled my notepad, God gave me this sermon series. And I just wrote it like nothing. And God spoke it into my life, and he said, Rich, this is for your life. And when he had finished dealing with me, he says, this is for my church. Because my people need this spoken into their life. The easiest way and basic way to tell you is that the series was entitled Fresh. My question to myself and to you today is, do you want a fresh start with God? Do you want a fresh season with God? Because God thinks I and you do. He wants us to grab a hold of him in a new way in this season ahead and to experience him in all his glory and all his provision. He wants you to experience and know in a greater measure. You know, I'm a little bit finicky. And somehow I adapted this growing up. And at times it causes comic relief for Noreen, I think. But I don't like things when they get stale. In other words, the banana has to be that nice golden yellow. You know, if it gets any kind of brown on the outside, I ain't going near it. It's just that simple. I like it fresh. You know, when I think of leftovers, you know, if the only leftovers, like roast beef, maybe once. If it's pasta, maybe even twice. But I like fresh cooked food. It's just that simple. I like baking. You know, you make it and bake it and you make it hot. You know, you get some of those buns, you know, baked fresh, and you get them hot and you put that butter on them. Oh, come on. You know, who doesn't like a fresh baked pie? Like, huh? Or a banana cream, right? Made somebody a dessert this week. But you know, it's that freshness. We all like it, don't we? And when the cheese gets green on it, some of you cut it off and eat it anyway. Yeah. I won't do it. If it's green, it's gone. If the bread has green on it, it's gone. It ain't fresh anymore. We need a whole different look and perspective in this season. We need a fresh look at God. We need a fresh look and experience in our faith. We need to experience God like we've never experienced him before. We need to engage with God, engage with our faith, and allow God to do some baking in our lives and cause a fresh aroma to come and a fresh feeling and emotion and an expression of our faith before God. You know, it may be in this last little while, we're coming out of summer. You know, a lot of us put our guard down in our faith in the summertime. A lot of us are away from the church more, and we don't realize that in doing that, you know, sometimes it just sort of lessens our faith, excitement, and joy, and peace. Some of us are good when we leave the church in the summer and we keep our faith going. But for a lot of people, for most people maybe, you know, when you leave the church and the fellowship of God's people, it dims your faith in your life and your enthusiasm for faith. Some of us maybe in the last little while have been dealing with sin in our lives, you know, and it's time to put aside our sin. And we're time to say to God, I need a fresh start. I confess my sin, God, and would you clean me and cleanse me and strengthen me and help me to walk away from that sin so I can be fresh in my faith once again. Some of it's just an area of our life that we haven't fully surrendered, and we know that maybe God's been tugging at that area of our life, and we still have that area of our life that is primary right now that needs to be touched by the Spirit of God, and we need to bring a freshness to that area of our life. It might be that in a certain way in our faith or in an area of our faith, we need God to just bring something to life in there. Maybe for some of us, our faith has become joyless. And we need some enthusiasm and some excitement of the Holy Spirit pumping in us once again. Maybe some of us, even at this point, have left our first love, and God wants to rekindle our love for Him in this season ahead. Maybe some of us have been held back by our past still. Maybe there is guilt or shame or things that we haven't been free from. And as much as we might want to put up a good front, you know, inside where there's pain and there's hurt and there's brokenness, and we need God to touch that area of our life and bring a fresh start so we can truly put the past behind us and live and walk in freedom today. Maybe some of us have become complacent and let our guards down. Maybe some of us have become overwhelmed by the cares of this life. Maybe some of us have settled into routine and the norms of life so that the Spirit of God is not able to use us for the kingdom's glory because we're so settled into what we're doing. Maybe we're not kingdom-minded right now. Maybe we're not living a missional or missionary life. Maybe there are even some here today who are running from God and His calling in their life. There are seasons in life. Some of us get the excitement of retirement. It's a new season. Are you going to give your new season to God and have a fresh start in your faith in a new season of being used by God? Some of us, it's marriage. Either we're just married, we've been married for a while. Maybe there are things going on in our life and in our marriage that God needs to just bring a fresh start into us. Maybe some of us have had graduation come upon us and we have this new season of life where we're an adult now and we're out in the work world. You know, a fresh start God wants to bring to us in our faith in those areas. Some of us don't even realize we need a fresh start. You know, on our holiday down in Vancouver, we took a bus to Deep Cove. And we were in Deep Cove there for a bit, and then we decided to do this hike, or other people decided. I just was following. If you know me by now, you know in the summer I wear shorts and I wear sandals. I don't like socks. I'm only wearing them today because I have to. You know, we hike up this thing and we get to the bottom of the hill before we go up, and it tells us it's like going to be an intermediate climb. It's not an easy climb. And then it tells us on a big bulletin thing there, it has things crossed off that you shouldn't, you know, be aware of or shouldn't do. And of course, there's some feet with sandals on them, and it's crossed out. Like, don't do this hike with these sandals. So I had no choice. So I went up the mountain with everybody. You know, it wasn't easy for everybody. It was a little rugged at times, but it wasn't bad. It was okay, you know, and we just kept going, and some had to stop and rest for a bit, and we stopped and rest with them. And, you know, we finally, you know, after a couple hours, you're climbing up this mountain and this thing, and you get to the top, and you walk around through the trees out into an opening with a big flat rock. And you get on this rock, and all you can see through this whole valley now is all of the water, the deep cove where we just sat on a, you know, wall, stone wall and had lunch. You know, there was the buildings way in the distance of North Van over the top of the hills and the mountains, and the water going out into the open and the cove. It was spectacular. You know, if I'd stayed down on that stone wall and ate lunch, and let them go and hike, and I'd stayed right where I was, all I would see is where I was in the immediate vicinity. And that really is a picture of faith. You see, we just see what we're experiencing and what we're living. It's